And as we bring in our Hollywood guru, Michael Warschauer. Michael, thank you for the time as always. And well, there's a lot to discuss today, ranging from the box office banter, Bad Boys 3 leading the way, to the SAG Awards. But I want to begin with this movie, 1917. It's getting a lot of great reviews. And, you know, you mentioned last week, it kind of blossomed a bit here at the beginning of award season. Can you explain the greatness of what people keep talking about? Shooting this one scene, which is continuous footage, probably had to shoot this a couple different times. They say Benedict Cumberbatch was actually on the set for 6 months with similar scenes in this movie, which seems like it's awfully difficult to pull off.
Yeah, and so first of all, the story about Benedict Cumberbatch being on set for 6 months, that was an expert bit of trolling from Knives Out director Rian Johnson, who got that story spread online. But the fact of the matter is, he was not there the whole time. This movie, it's stunning. I had a chance to see it recently, and it really is a pretty masterful film. Like you said, it appears to be in one continuous take. The director, Sam Mendes, and the cinematographer, Roger Deakins, who's kind of a legend in his field, have both been kind of coy about how they actually filmed it. I think it would be incredibly difficult for them to film that entire movie in one actual take. So it kind of goes to some kind of camera trickery that makes it look that way. But once you start watching the movie, none of that matters. Like, you're just sort of stuck watching it, or stuck isn't the right word. You're glued to watching it. It really, the story is about these two guys, if you've seen any of the commercials, you know, trying to get across enemy lines to deliver a message to another squadron that the Germans are going to ambush them if they carry out their attack. And so it really begins with them like getting these orders, and the camera just kind of keeps moving. And so there's this kind of constant inertia and constant movement forward that you kind of feel this like sense of dread that they can't really stop. So neither does the camera. And it really creates a movie that leaves you really just kind of on the edge of your seat the whole time. I mean, by just sort of having it in one continuous thing, there's really not a lot of breaks in the story. The acting is phenomenal. The action is phenomenal. It's shot beautifully. This is definitely, like we talked about last week, a movie that's come on late in the season, but deserving of the praise that is being heaped on it right now.
1917, third at the box office this past weekend, pulling in just over $22 million. The leader in the clubhouse was Bad Boys 3. That was kind of to be expected. Just shy of $60 million domestically. What are you hearing about Bad Boys for Life?
Good things. I mean, everybody that got a chance to go see it this weekend loved it. It obviously did very well at the box office. It sounds like they're going to go ahead with a fourth one in the franchise. Hopefully we won't have to wait quite as long for that as we did for Bad Boys 3. But a really strong performance this weekend. Really good for Will Smith, who's had a couple of rough bombs over the last few years. So pretty great for him. A nice comeback vehicle for Martin Lawrence. So all around good things there. And it really didn't have a ton of competition. I think the biggest blockbuster-sized movie that was coming out this weekend was Doolittle. Robert Downey Jr. taking on Dr. Doolittle. It suffered from some pretty bad reviews and had really bad expectations. And it finished second. It did sort of exceed the expectations that people had, but it still had a $175 million budget, which it does not seem like it will be making up at all. But it's pretty interesting to see some of these big action movies kind of slide in here during the middle of award season, and certainly a nice alternative to seeing some of the more serious dramas that are the typical award season fodder.
So Doolittle is just the story about this guy that can talk to animals. That's the basic premise here, correct?
Yeah, that's it. It's Robert Downey Jr. Yep.
Well, and you mentioned that it was budgeted at what? Just over $170 million, and in its opening weekend,
yeah,
at least in the States, brought in just over $22.5 million. So you could see why people are thinking it's got a long ways to go and may never actually get to budget. But you look at the rest of the movies on this list. Well, there are a lot of holdovers here, Michael. I mean, Jumanji was fourth on this list. You know, Star Wars has been out for almost a month now. That was fifth on this list. And then you've got a few others following in here, too, with Just Mercy, Little Women, Knives Out, Like a Boss was ninth, and then Frozen 2, which has been out for a really long time here. So, you know, outside of Bad Boys for Life and Doolittle, it seemed like there were a lot of films on the top 10 at the box office that have been out for a long time. In the case of Frozen 2, nearly 2 months.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of impressive how much some of them are pulling in still. I mean, Jumanji has been out now for several weeks, and it made $9.6 million this weekend. You said Star Wars made $8 million. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that this is sort of like the last holiday weekend, you know, of the holiday season. Like, we have those, like, Christmas time and Thanksgiving as big blockbuster weekends. And so this is really the last chance for people to get out and see some of those movies. And so they're getting out and seeing some of the things that they haven't seen. I'm still very surprised, though, that Jumanji in particular has had such staying power after 6 weeks. Star Wars is obviously a juggernaut. That's not really going to go anywhere until Disney says it's going to go anywhere. But to still pull in $8 million over a holiday weekend like this 5 weeks in is pretty impressive. And I think Knives Out and Frozen 2 are actually two of the more impressive ones. Both made it into the top 10 this week, and they've been out for 8 and 9 weeks respectively. That's pretty wild to still be hitting that point in the box office after such a long time. So, yeah, I think this is one of the last big weekends of the winter for people to go see things until President's Day. So there's a lot of free time and a lot of opportunities to go see things you've missed.
Again, we're being joined by Michael Warshauer, our Hollywood guru here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, Michael, last night, of course, the SAG Awards, and there were some big winners along the way last night. What were your major takeaways from last night's SAG Awards?
Well, first, on the TV side, I think we saw a lot of kind of similar winners that we've seen since the Golden Globes and the Emmys. Phoebe Waller-Bridge taking home Best Actress for Fleabag. You had Tony Shalhoub winning again. Jennifer Aniston getting a statue for Best Female Actor in a Drama Series with The Morning Show, and Game of Thrones picking up one last award for Peter Dinklage for Best Male Actor in a Series. But on the movie side, I think we're starting to get a pretty clear picture of what the Oscar race is looking like, what the front runners look like. You had repeat winners from the Golden Globes in all the acting categories, Brad Pitt in supporting actor, Laura Dern supporting actress, Joaquin Phoenix in, as actor, and Renee Zellweger for Judy for Best Actress. So I think that those four are pretty much your front runners. It would be pretty surprising to see them be usurped by the time the Oscars roll around. But I think we still saw that there's a lot of kind of wide openness in the Best Picture race, with Parasite taking home the outstanding performance by a cast in a motion picture. This is particularly noteworthy because Parasite was not nominated at all in the Golden Globes or in the Academy Awards in any of the acting categories. So a pretty significant win there to recognize the fantastic cast of that movie. But other than that, I think we really are starting to get that just solid picture of what those Oscar races are going to look like, particularly in the acting categories.
As long as we're on that topic for just another minute or so here, what do you think is a better indicator as to who's going to win at the Oscars, what you see in the SAG Awards or from the Golden Globes?
That's a tough question. I think it varies from year to year, but I think the SAG Awards are probably a stronger indicator overall. They really start to give you your front runners in those big acting categories. And it's not very often that people win Screen Actors Guild Awards and then don't win the Oscar category or are snubbed completely. So and there were some differences in the nominees. I think one of the biggest ones was having Jennifer Lopez nominated for Hustlers, which she was snubbed for at the Oscars. So you have some sort of variation there, but the winners usually stay pretty consistent, and they're a strong indicator of where the industry is starting to vote as they head into their Oscar ballot.
Great stuff, Michael. Well, before we let you go, we need to get this week's picks to click. The weather is awful up here, so our listeners are looking for something to maybe not necessarily binge watch, but maybe something to kick back and watch while they've got a couple of logs in the fireplace while it continues to snow.
Absolutely. Well, on Wednesday on Comedy Central, you can watch the premiere of Awkwafina is Nora from Queens. Awkwafina coming off her Golden Globe win for The Farewell. She plays a millennial living at home with a really great supporting cast, including Dee Dee Wong, Lori Tan Chin, and Bowen Yang from SNL. So that one is getting great reviews, certainly something to check out when it premieres on Wednesday. And then this weekend, you can cozy up and watch a couple of Netflix originals that are coming back. The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina Part 3 comes out on Friday, as does the final season of Ashton Kutcher's show, The Ranch. So a lot of good things to stay in and stream this weekend.
Great stuff, Michael. As always, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll do this again next week.
Sounds great.